Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom again. It's good to be here with you all today. At my age, it's good to be anywhere. Greetings from the Holy Land. Pastor Cal had gotten in touch with me and asked me if I would come and share the events of that first Christmas with you. And I guess I probably ought to introduce myself. I'm Joseph. As you all might say, I was Jesus' stepdad. And so I'm qualified to talk about the events of that first Christmas. Now, I was an eyewitness of the birth of the Lord Jesus, as you would say. You know, Mary gets all the headlines, but I was there too. Amen? And somehow Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, decided that the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, was going to need an earthly father to help raise the Lord's Christ. And so I was that man. And now in my day, in the first century, all we had was these Old Testament scriptures, and they were wonderful. But do y'all know how blessed you are to have a New Testament? Well, guess what? On the very first page of your New Testament, I'm in there. And it tells you my story. And Pastor Cal tells me that you all have in the early service, we had a great teaching rabbi by the name of Rabbi Walker. But we have another teaching rabbi here today, and his name is Rabbi J. And Rabbi, would you stand and read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, y'all listen to this because this is about me, okay?
Matthew 1.
18 through 25.
See it, Brother Cale. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, Rabbi Wilburn. He had no idea I was going to call on him to do that. Isn't that a fabulous? That is the Christmas story. That is, but I want to share with you from my perspective about the events of that first Christmas. Now, as most of you would guess and know, I'm Jewish. I'm a Jewish man. And for centuries, my people and I had been looking and waiting upon the arrival of the Jewish Messiah. I mean, our great prophet Moses predicted many years before that our Messiah, when he came, he would be our great deliverer. And the deliverer would come through the tribe of Judah. The prophet Samuel said that this predicted Messiah would come through the line and lineage of our great king, King David. Isaiah, as Rabbi just read, predicted that the Messiah would be virgin born and that he would be God with us. And then the great prophet Micah predicted and prophesied that the Messiah, the Christ child, would be born in Bethlehem. And so we had been looking and waiting and longing for our Messiah. And oh, how we needed a Savior. Oh, how we needed a Savior. My people were under the heavy hand of Caesar and the oppression of the Roman government. Taxes were exorbitant. Don't you love high taxes? Unemployment was running wild. Morals were at an all-time low. Sickness and suffering and disease were running rampant. Does any of this sound familiar? You see, things have not changed much since the first century. The human heart is still the same. And we needed a Savior. And oh, my, how you all need a Savior. And His name is Yeshua. I'm His stepdad. What a privilege it was to have that boy grow up in our home. Now, every 14 years, the Roman government would put out a census for tax and military purposes. And this year was no different. It fell on the 14th year. And every Jewish male had to go back to his hometown to register his family, his occupation, his property, and his name with his hometown. Well, me being from Bethlehem, I had to go back to Bethlehem, which is where I'm from. Remember the prophecies that we just talked about? All of that fulfilled God's word. And so Mary, my espoused wife, and I, who was very pregnant with child. Ladies, how would you like to be on the back of a donkey having a child, 9 months pregnant? Well, that's kind of what happened. So let me just go back a little, if I might, and just share the events that kind of led up to this journey, to this trip to Bethlehem. Now, I was at the time a young, hardworking, handsome carpenter. It's okay to laugh in the synagogue, okay? And my parents had arranged a marriage for me, which was not unusual. As a matter of fact, in my country, we don't leave marriages up to the children. The parents from both sets, both sides, would get together and figure out. They didn't leave things up to the emotions and hormones of teenagers. And so my folks met with Mary's mom and dad and decided that we would be a good match for one another. Same religious background, same socioeconomic background, same we used to run in the same circles. And so we were in the second phase, the second stage of a Jewish wedding. We were in the betrothal stage. And most of the time the betrothal period would last about a year. And during that time the couple would get to know one another. And that's what Mary and I were doing. And I want to tell you, we fell headlong, hopelessly in love with one another. She was a beautiful girl, came from a great family, and we were making plans for a life together. I mean, I had big hopes and high dreams, and everything was working out according to plans when all of a sudden, the world came crashing down. Mary wound up pregnant. I would have never guessed that she would have been unfaithful to me. But she was pregnant, and I wasn't the father. And to make matters worse, do you know what she told me? That the Holy Spirit had impregnated her. And she was carrying the Messiah. Yeah, right. And so I was devastated. Just devastated. But I loved Mary. And you know, the law said that she could be stoned to death. That's what the law said about adulteresses. But I didn't want that to happen. And I wanted to do what was right in Yahweh's eyes. And so I began to pray and about how to handle this horrible set of circumstances. And the law said over in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1 that in a situation like this, a husband could put his wife away privately, not having to publicly expose her to a trial and then this death penalty of being stoned. And so that's what I decided to do, to give her a private bill of divorcement. I think you all would call it serving someone divorce papers. And so that's what we decided to do. Well, during this time, Mary decided to get away from Nazareth and to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And I'm sure Mary, like myself, was glad to get, you know, I'm sure she was glad to get away from the wagging tongues and gossip in Nazareth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't y'all love loose tongues and loose lips in a small community? Oh my goodness. So news was spreading fast about how she'd been unfaithful and was pregnant with child and da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I stayed behind though in Nazareth, and I began to work and put these plans together for this private bill of divorcement. And then Mary was over in visiting with her cousin Elizabeth. And one night, beloved, in a dream. And you know, back in the day, God would speak to people in a dream. And he spoke to me in a dream. And you know what he told me? He said, what Mary told you was absolutely right. She has conceived a child by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had moved on her womb. And she had conceived, and sure enough, she was carrying the Messiah. And so the angel told me in this dream that I was having, in this vision, that I was to take her in as my wife. Now, Mary and I were still in this betrothal period. We hadn't moved in together. We hadn't consummated the marriage yet. And so I was supposed to go forward with things, and then I was to name this boy Jesus. Yeshua, which means Yeshua is the Greek name for the Old Testament name Joshua. And that name means what? Savior. Savior. And so I had the privilege. Guys, can you think about that? Amongst all the millions of men, God chose me to raise this Christ child, the anointed one, in our home. I was responsible for his growth and development. By the way, if you're a parent, you're still responsible for the growth and development of your kids. And increasingly, I think grandparents are raising kids nowadays. Amen? And so that's kind of the story behind the story. And I took Mary in as my wife. And, you know, the only regret, I had high hopes. My dreams were back on target. But the only thing I regretted was not believing Mary when she told me what she told me. And so we started making plans to do the things that we needed to do. And then all of a sudden this census deal came up. And I said, Mary, honey, I know you're pregnant as pregnant can be, but I've got to go back to Bethlehem because that's where I'm from. And we need to go back there and get registered for this census. Which, by the way, didn't y'all have a census here in this country this year? Some of y'all are looking at me like a moon calf, like you don't know what I'm talking about, but y'all had a census here, whether you know it or not. And so she got on the back of that donkey, and it took us 4 or 5 days. We finally got to Bethlehem, and I mean, she is miserable. And we got to the outskirts of Bethlehem, and folks, there were people everywhere. Y'all would call it today the first Christmas rush. And folks were going to and fro and about. And so we head over there to the Bethlehem Inn. And you know what that hotel manager told me? We don't have any room for y'all. I'm sorry. And so Mary and I had to bed down out back in a what you all would probably say was just a little cave in the side of a hill where they used to house animals. And so that's where that night, that first Christmas night, my dear wife gave birth to Yeshua. And we wrapped him in swaddling clothes and we laid him in a manger, which you all know is a feeding trough for animals, right? And so we laid this little boy, Yeshua, Jesus, in this feeding trough. And, well, the Holy Spirit just came all over me. I looked over and I noticed y'all got a manger back here. They're still around today. And I was looking down over that manger into the face of our baby boy. But I was also looking into the face of God, who would one day die for the sins of the whole world. You see, that was his purpose in coming. Jesus was born to die for me, for my sin. And you know, we had people come to visit. There were some shepherds that showed up. Angels were everywhere. There were visitors. And then even up to 2 years later, we had some wise men show up at the house. And everybody that came to see this child, I told them proudly, "This is my son. And this is the Savior of the whole world. And I have come a long ways." I've said all of that to say this. I pray that he is your Savior. I pray he's your Savior. Pastor Cal tells me that he knows quite a few folks who were pastors and preachers and even deacons and church leaders who were serving and weren't saved. You may be here today. And I want to ask you, is he your personal Savior? Do you have a relationship with God through Yeshua? Have you surrendered your heart and life to him? Have you turned from your sins and by faith received what he did for you 2,000 years ago? How do I do that, Pastor? The Bible says simply calling on his name. He's looking here at your heart. Are you saved? Do you have a Savior? And is that Savior, is his name Jesus? Would you bow your head with me as we pray together? If you're not absolutely sure about your walk with Christ, whether or not you're in a relationship with Jesus, whether you've been saved, if he's really your Savior, today is the day. If you just ask God to forgive you of your sin and believe in your heart that Yeshua is alive today, by trusting him as your only means of salvation, turning control of your life over to him, my Bible tells me anyone and everyone can be saved. You just do that in the quietness of this time. I'm going to pray for you here in just a minute. And if you do that today, we want to hear from you. You can come forward and tell me about it today. You can fill out one of our second mile marker cards on the table in the back. Give us your name and address, the decision that you've made. But we want to know about it and rejoice with you. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for coming as a little baby boy, leaving heaven in all the splendor and the majesty and laying aside that glory for 33 and a half years. We got glimpses of the glory from time to time. But I want to thank you for sending your Son, who is now our Savior. And He's alive forevermore. And Lord, if there's one here that does not know Him, oh, I pray today would be the day of salvation. And as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, God, help us. Help us to be your witnesses, just like those shepherds, just like those angels that went around up in the clouds singing. Oh God, help us to spread the good news about Christmas. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done here today. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.